RSN Central's Form Express.
It is time now for the Metro Form Express on this Friday, the 20th of November. We've got some big names ready to go for the Ballarat section of the Metro Form Express. Of course, it's Ballarat Cup Day. Big meeting at Kembla Grange there, highlighted by that million-dollar gong race. Ronnie Duffersey will join us to preview that meeting. Michael Maxworthy to look at the Sunshine Coast. Peter Antonis will preview Railway Stakes Day, along with, of course, Neville Parnham. Hopefully we'll catch up with him. Pete Staples will preview that Launceston meeting on Sunday. It's a big Form Express for the Breeders' Crown weekend for the trots. Andy Gath will catch up with Emma Stewart, Greg Sugars and Dan Malecki to help us back a winner there as well. But it's time to concentrate on the meeting at Ballarat tomorrow afternoon, highlighted by the $500,000 Ballarat Cup. And what a race it promises to be. Mark Guest, of course, is our Metro Form expert for Victoria, and he joins us now. Hello to you, Guesty.
How you going, Gareth? Looks like it's going to be a hot one tomorrow. 29 yep. degrees. So
shirts off for you, Guesty.
I'll be watching at home.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what, it's going to be some good racing, competitive racing you'd expect, and just whether they can run on or not with it so hot.
How do we make some money and where do we start with your specials?
I thought the first race, we could get the first special home at the Gouch. I think it's been going super. Those efforts at Mornington, I know it was on a soft track at Mornington, but then won easily at Bendigo. Set a good on a hot speed at Bendigo the next start. It actually pulled on really well behind Ocular, who goes pretty smart. They were pretty handy. So, number two, the Gouch in the first race, currently $2.40, race one, number two.
Okay, then where do we go?
Race two, another Murray Eustace runner. Looks like Wahini Tala. It looks a great chance. This will be its fourth run back, up a little bit further in distance. That won't be any negative at all, 2,600 metres. We saw it running well at Flemington, ran well on the St Ledger during May, so April. So I think it just gets the right run, just behind the speed. Behind Eaton the other day, it was quite a nice effort. Went on pace. That's where I think it'll be again. So number 12 in race two, $4.20, Wahini Tala.
A few whispers around for that horse. I know that David Eustace was on with Michael Felgate this morning, gave Wahini Tala a good push. And then on Dean and Hamish, Hamish McLaughlin was at his local kebab shop there yesterday and he got a tip for the horse as well. So it might be the way to go at $4. Was it you at the kebab shop, was it, Guesty? Tipping
no,
Hamish?
No, I was giving away the kebabs.
Okay. Well, it doesn't look...
Back in the day, they were pretty big. But anyway.
Doesn't look like it, Guesty. Anyway, we'll move on.
<It's true>.
The final of your specials?
Race 9, number 3, The Astrologist. Were just only nabbed at Flemington. And, you know, I think there's only one danger, and that's whip crack away if there's any. But The Astrologist looks a good bet. Race 9, number 3. It's short as well, $2.20. I thought on the, you know, there was a little bit of value in the middle of the day. I thought Snap Dancer, even though it's strong wide, I thought $14 was not a bad price first up, and it did jump out well. And the 11 in race 7, Starcaster, shouldn't be $34. I mean, it's Geelong if it was very good, and then just forget it went around last time. I think with a bit of luck, I know it will be back past midfield, or that's where I've got it mapped. It might be a chance at big odds at 34. Just for the record, in the cup I went for a fair to remember. But again, you're taking 550 of that Amir who's going to be back on the field.
Hey, Guesty, there's a text message coming through. Can you explain the move for Saffin? $81 into $26. I remember when I had a chat to David Hayes at the start of his last preparation, he gave this horse a bit of a push at 100 to 1. He said, Gareth, it's got better ability than that. And it looks like they're backing him again.
Yeah, what race is he?
That's race 10, Guesty.
Yeah, I think it's an open race, Dad. I'm not sure. I like Ocular a little bit.
Yep, at 550.
I'm just not sure. Yeah, I wanted to stay away from that race. I thought there was many chances.
All right, then. Make sure you slip, slop, and slap then tomorrow and today.
I'll be inside. Thanks, mate.
Good on you, Guesty. There's Mark Guest there. Trent Bussinen, of course, has Jack Regan going around in race number two there at Ballarat. He's a horse that you can get around $11 for at the moment. This is what Trent had to say.
Look, honestly, his form looks terrible. He's our best for the day.
Really?
He's been racing out of his grade just through necessity. Over Cup Carnival, there's not too many races, you know, in that 78 grade, and sort of we've been having a run in opens and 90s. And he hasn't been disgraced. He's been going all right. I think back to benchmark 78, up to 2,600, I think he can win the race.
So there's Trent Bussinen. There you go. I had an appointment this morning, and I missed Dean Lester. I never miss him on the Breakfast Club with Nick Quinn. And there's been a few text messages. Saffin's been a big go, Gareth, in the last. You know why, folks? Dean Lester tipped it as his Ramaruffi. So there you go. That explains it. And it was 80 to 1 into $26, and it wouldn't be without an each-way chance. And the punters just love getting on the Dean at Lester bandwagon. Juniper goes around in the Ballarat Cup. Geez, he's been a good horse, his preparation. And this is what Dave Eustace had to say about his chances.
I've always felt 2,000 would be okay. You know, he relaxes pretty well in his races. And I think, you know, he just needs to get to the outside. And if he's able to do that, we think the track will suit too.
So there's Dave Eustace talking about Juniper. Now, Mark Guess, he likes the mare, Fair to Remember, in the Ballarat Cup, and she's trained by Dan O'Sullivan.
I haven't overstudied it, to be honest, to work out that, but she depends a little bit on her own, how she jumps out. Like, she can jump out quite okay and set up a big field, which would be absolutely beautiful, instead of giving, you know, we've got a quality field here with multiple Group 1 winners in it. Horse Kawhi's won the last two Ballarat Cups. You know, it's a strong race. You can't afford to be giving these horses starts and thinking you'll just pick them up and beat them. So hopefully she jumps evenly, and we've got half the field behind us. I'll be happy with that.
Brett Scott's done a really good job with his team over the last year or so. He's got a wonderful strike rate, and one of those horses that has been flying for his stable is Irish Flame, and he gains a start now in the Ballarat Cup, and this is what Brett had to say.
Yeah, he's thrived since coming over from New Zealand, and every run he's had since he's been here has been terrific, and he's, if anything, he's got better as he's got deeper into the preparation, so... you know, if he does get in, this is his grand final. He'll head to the paddock after this and, look to the autumn.
And Pakadali is a strong each-way chance in the Ballarat Cup, and he's trained by Matty Raymond.
As he's getting a little bit older, a little bit of sting out of the ground definitely wouldn't hurt him at all, but he's done quite well the last two runs, and they've both ended up being pretty firm and coming into good threes before his race. So I'm surprised how well he's come through it. He's in really good order heading into Saturday. He definitely needed those couple of hard runs just to bring him on fitness-wise. And I'd say he's at his peak now, ready to go around on Saturday.
Well, that's a good push there for Pakadali in the Ballarat Cup. Okay, they're racing at Kembla Grange. That's the feature race meeting in New South Wales, highlighted by the $1 million gong. And this man has been dominating Wollongong, eating pizza after pizza. He's a star. He's from Sky Racing, and Ronnie Dovesey joins us. G'day, Ron.
Yeah, g'day, Gareth.
Was that pizza any good? If you haven't caught up with the news, Ronnie Dovesey posted a wonderful-looking pizza on his Twitter page. And I tell you what, Ronnie, you made me hungry. Did you? Tell me you got through all of that.
No, I didn't. There's a couple of slices to put in the microwave tonight, I think. But it was a Wollongong special, I can tell you that much. Yeah.
Hey, can we back a winner there at Kembla Grange tomorrow?
I think we can. Races 2, 6 and 9 are the races I want to bet in. Race 2, number 5, Activation. He was an ex-Chris Waller horse. He's by I Am Invincible. He's now with Cody Nestor out there at Dubbo. He should be 3-from-3 for the stable. Certainly beat first up, and then he's absolutely dominated in his two wins since, giving the impression the mile will suit. The stable won this highway race at Kembla last year, so I'd suggest it's a plan for him. I think he's awfully hard to hold out. Race 2, number 5. Race 6, the next two tips are the two horses that have been waiting for dry tracks to come back around. Intrepidatious, she She's been off the scene for 45 days since absolutely bolting in at Warwick Farm first up. Prior to that, she trialled brilliantly. She's won two trials with her head on her chest since. We see her again at the races. I think she's a much better mare this preparation. I think she's awfully hard to run down. Race six, number two, in Trepidatious. And another one that's been sitting back biding his time. He's been scratched three or four times. Is this Richard and Michael Friedman horse in the last, the Greek Hero. The price has gone now. But he is an import in second prep in Australia. His trials about a month ago were good. And he sets up nicely for Nash from Barrier 2. And I think he's ready to go and should win. Race 9, number 10, Greek Hero.
All right, Ronnie, your very best?
I think the last, even though I was hoping the $5 or $6 would hold up, but I still think he's hard to beat, Greek Hero, in the last.
Usually we find you in Perth, probably eating another pizza about this time. In fact, it's a steak, or you're just waking up because it's a three-hour difference. Have you had a look at that railway?
I have. We usually sit down with Uncle Bob and he shouts once a year and he buys his lunch on the Friday before the railway.
He hasn't never shouted me, Uncle Bob. Geez, he must love you. He's never shouted me, Uncle Bob. He must love you. Actually, he has once. He has once. I lie. What's he telling you?
Look, I like KC. Yeah. We got a rider for KC.
Yeah, Jason Brown's picked up the ride there. Neville Parnham was his boss, and that was about 30 years ago. So he's picked up the ride. And usually when Brownie jumps aboard Neville's horses, when Brad and Steve are away, he gets them up at a big price. So he'll be determined, Brownie, to win a Group 1 here. And I think this would be his first railway stakes.
Yeah, okay, well, let's hope he can get the job done, because Neville's a master at preparing horses for the right day. And I love the way the improvement she showed last time. She savaged the line. She's a good mare. And I think she'll run an almighty race. And obviously, it's a competitive railway for sure.
All right then, Ronnie, you enjoy Kembla Grange and enjoy those pizzas.
Thanks, Gareth.
There's Ronnie Duffersey from Sky Racing. Michael Maxworthy joins us to preview the meeting on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland. Hello to you, Maxie.
Hello, Gareth. Yes, this meeting at the Sunny Coast starts our TAB Racing Summer Carnival. And race seven is one of the highlights the Swiss Ace played. I'm going for number eight, Just Orm. This is a set weight with penalties, so he's beautifully handicapped in this race. And I'm thinking Tony Golan has set him for this race. He's at eight starts here, this track and distance. He's won four of them. I forget Doomben the other day. If Stabilite Sugar Boom's going to be hard to beat here, she'll lead, but I reckon he might be able to run her down. So that's 7-8 Just Orm. On to race eight, number eight, Ballistic Boy, is the up-and-comer in Queensland racing. He's a four-year-old, fully mature four-year-old now. He was super first up. He's going to love this Mooloolaba Cup distance of 1,600. That's 8-8 Ballistic Boy, the favourite. And in the last race, nine, I'm really keen on Tokariki Lad. Now, you've got to strike him on his day, but I reckon we've got him here. Race nine, number four, ifs and buts about a lot of the opposition, but not for him tomorrow. This is his race for the taking. Tokariki Lad, race nine, number four. So summing up, Gareth, it's 7-8 Just Orm, 8-8 Ballistic Boy, and 9-4 Tokariki Lad.
Your very best, Maxie?
The very, very best.
Yes.
I'd have to say that one in the last. I'm really keen on him. Race 9, number 4, Tokariki Lad, around $4.
Go the lad and go Maxie. You've been in wonderful form. We appreciate your thoughts as each and every week, Maxie. Good on you.
Okay, thank you, Gareth.
Yes, it's a big day there tomorrow afternoon at Ascot. It's WA's biggest race day. It's Railway Stakes Day, and this man has flown all the way back to Perth. He's quarantined. He's been in isolation basically for 2 weeks in quarantine over there in Western Australia, and he will be on track there tomorrow afternoon at Ascot. His name is Peter Antonis. We know him well here on RSN Central, and he joins us now to help us back a winner in WA. It's a very good afternoon to you, Pete.
Yes, it is a good afternoon to you, Gareth.
Good morning to you, I should say.
Yeah, exactly. It's fresh in the morning here over in WA. The weather's just finding up after the monstrosity that was Champion Fillies Day. I don't think I've ever seen a day that wet at Ascot. But Chris Nation's done well with the track. We spoke to him yesterday and it's all ready to go.
All right then, how do we make some money on the car? We'll talk about, first of all, the Railway Stakes. And the favourite with the TAB is Inspirational Girl at $3.60. And then you go to Too Close the Sun, that's been heavily supported, now into $5. And Red Can Man at $9. KC out to $6. Of course, Jason Brown replacing Steve Parnham, who had a nasty fall there on Wednesday and broke his collarbone and some ribs. But he's okay, but he'll be missing the carnival. So how have you sorted out this year's Railway Stakes, Pete?
Now, I think if you're going just off face value, I think Too Close to Sun will start favourite. That horse is ultra impressive from a ratings point of view last weekend. It's a strong horse. It looks like there's plenty of tempo in this year's event. We'll have Red Can Man, Too Close to Sun, Gaylord Shop, Dance Music all coming across from out wide. Great Shop won't be that keen to hand up the lead either. And then you've got other horses like Taxigano. I think Kemantari, they'll try and ride a little bit more positive forward of midfield. And even the horse like Material Man will probably try and come over. So plenty of speed. Looks like a genuine mile race. And I'm very happy to suggest that Too Close to Sun will be backed as a result. I think that horse, the figures that it was able to put up in Victoria was strong. And I think it'll be suited.
Lindsay Smith and Jeff Evans, we've had a chat to them about this horse for a little while now. I thought he was a good Group 2, Group 3 horse, but you don't really have to be a genuine Group 1 horse to win this year's Railway Stakes.
Yeah, completely agree. It's not anything against any of the horses in WA. It's just to say that ordinarily you'd probably have three or four interstate rivals to really make it a genuine Group 1, but that's 2020, isn't it?
Okay, what about the WA Guineas? I'm keen on a horse here if it gains a start. In fact, it's Western Empires at 5.50. I got excited. I saw a scratching, but it was the second emergency. But Western Empire, if he gains a start despite the draw, I think this three-year-old will be mighty hard to hold out.
The only query for me is it coming a little bit too soon to Western Empire? It still looks like a very raw animal, still doing a little bit wrong in its runs. It's been only in slowly run races. Again, this looks like it's going to be a high-tempo affair, and that's the issue trying to sort this out. Most of the lead-up races have been pretty slowly run, so we're not really sure which of these horses will be able to handle it. I think going into the race, Don DeShute deserves to be favourite. It's been doing everything right in its runs. It's a strong horse, wasn't suited last start. Gets into a pretty nice spot, I think, from gate nine, but I'm happy to play a few in this race. So Don DeShute's one. I have to throw out my horse, Solaire. I think I would be booed off. I wouldn't be let back in Victoria if I won with Solaire and didn't tip her to the country. Chris Parnham's jumping on board. She seems to draw pretty well. I think she'll be in the first three or four runners, and I think the dry track will suit her. And physically, she had more to come in the yard last Saturday, so have to have something on her. And Brave Angel, I thought, has been ultra impressive to Simon Miller's yard, and that horse continues to impress. But I think it might be slightly more effective on wet, so Brave Angel will just be a saver bet for me.
All right then, mate, your best for Railway Stakes Day. How do we make some money?
Race 4, Ackerman Tour. Get on, start favourite. It's a strong horse. If you want to save on Shantork. But for me, Ackerman Tour is the best of the day.
All right then, so race 4, number 2 then. Is Too Close to the Sun one of your plays of the day as well?
It would be. Yep. Exactly right. And then one in the last as well. We'll throw out three, Gareth. Pins Royale for Luke Fernie and Mitchie Pateman.
All right, then $7.250 each way all day. Enjoy Railway Stakes Day. I am jealous, Pete. Good luck.
Pleasure, Gareth.
There's Pete Anstis. Now the Hall of Famer joins us, a legend of WA racing, and he has got two strong chances in the Railway Stakes there tomorrow afternoon. Neville Parnham joins us now. Good afternoon or good morning to you, Nev.
Yeah, good morning, Gareth. How are you?
Good, thank you, mate. Obviously, KC, Stevie Parnham, your son, had that nasty fall there on Wednesday. I think he's still in hospital, but he's okay. But he won't be able to ride KC. First of all, have you got an update on Steve for us?
He had a good night last night. He slept well, so yep. A bit uncomfortable, obviously, with three broken ribs and a broken collarbone and a punctured lung and some chips off his vertebrae. So he's doing the best he can. Overall, he's hoping to get out today, but... in general terms, he's in reasonably good spirits, considering.
Yeah, I read his post and the other day, and he's one of the best blokes in racing, one of the best blokes I know, Stevie Parnham. So, our thoughts with him, and he misses the ride on KC, Nev, but one of your jockeys that you looked after as a young boy, Jason Brown, I think you were his master when he started riding, and he gets the pickup ride there on KC. How was she going into Saturday's race?
Yeah, we could, you know, Stevie was really stoked with her gallop on last Saturday and again on Tuesday, and we feel that she's come on again since the Lestia Stakes, and we're obviously looking forward to the race, and Steve was excited about the fact that she was a genuine chance of winning, and but yeah, that was cut short. So Jason has, as you said, he was apprenticed to me, and he's ridden, oh, I don't know how many winners he would have ridden for me, but lots and lots and lots of winners, but 100 or 200 winners, but he's won a Perth Cup for me, so he's an able replacement, and yeah, quite happy to have him on, and he'll chat to Stevie, and he had a sit on this morning, so yeah, we're happy with where things are at, and yeah, I'm sure she'll sort of find something to bring her into the race, and she'll have a powerful finish at the end.
Do you think she's the best horse in the race, Neville?
I guess that's, you know, there's a few good quality horses in the race. Kamentari, you know, on his day, he's as good a horse as going. Material Man has proven to be, but maybe at the moment he's past his best. Galo Shop's a 10-year-old and been a pretty useful horse. So that brings it down to sort of the new kids on the block, and KC, Inspirational Girl, Too Close to Sun, I guess they're the ones. Red Can Man and Platoon probably after that. But, yeah, I think as current best form, I'd say she's the best horse in the race.
Yep, I nearly agree. Oh, well, I do agree with you, Niff. What about Platoon? Can he win?
I think he can, yeah. You know, if he gets the right run, he drops from 59 in the Wait for Age race behind KC to 53 kilos. He's drawn one outsider, so he'll either be in front of her or just following her. I haven't quite sort of worked that out exactly, you know, but he may be the one in front, and KC and Inspirational will sort of track it up. But, we'll leave that to Brad to sort out. And, you know, I think he's better off where he is. He didn't have a lot of room the other day, and Brad said Stephen had him pretty tight with KC, and he thought that the horse just didn't feel comfortable in that position. And when he got out, he found the line really strongly lately and through the line. So, yeah, I think if he's sort of in that moving line and he can get a nice, you know, drag into the race in what appears to be going to be a fairly solid tempo, on paper anyway, at least. So, yeah, we're just of the opinion that he's, with a lightweight, he's more than capable of figuring in the finish. He ran third in the race last year, so he's a year older. He's a stronger horse, a better horse, better attitude this year, and, he's definitely a more mature and stronger.
Can Eliminate and Smashing cause the upset in the WA Guineas, race number 6?
It may be a bit too soon for them. They're both really nice horses who are going to win a fair share of races. But, Smashing, unfortunately, she's gone 19 at the barrier, which is the extreme outside when it all comes down, probably 16. But she'll get back in the field from there, and she'll be coming home with a strong finish. Worked really, really well on Tuesday morning, so I'm expecting her to run some sort of a race, but she may be sort of too far out of it to play a part in the finish. But they're only sort of three once, and they've got the quality to match against most of these horses. But yes, it's going to be a bit of luck to be involved here. And Eliminate, she was not suited last week in the track that was really heavy 8, heavy 9, and for that reason, I told Steve to sort of boot her up and hold a spot from barrier 1. That, I think that was a bit of a mistake. That's taken her out of her comfort zone, and she got held up behind the one Brad was riding, and the rest, the sort of ones that figured in the finish, they got a bit of a momentum build with them, and she was sort of just, not being able to sort of build at all. And when she got out, she sort of whacked away quite well. But, you know, I think that taking that chance to sort of build probably took away from her finishing position. She seems to have had a good week since, and
barrier five. I can see her taking up a position in the first half of the field, and she would not surprise me at all. She was only second up last week at a mile. She's third up this week. Got a lot of quality about her. Probably just a little bit of inexperience, I guess, that remains to be seen. But, yeah, Dom DeShute's going to be pretty hard looking at where he's drawn and set weights. Got Paul Harvey on, and he was an excellent run the other day.
Niff, you only got a minute and a half before our next commitment. So what's your best for the day? You got a couple in the Crystal Slipper, Nerf Bosque that's flying, I think, for your stable and the WA Stakes. If we're having a punt, who are we backing from the Parnham stable?
I've got quite a nice opinion of those two-year-olds.
Yep.
One's drawn barrier one, one's drawn 14. The Flying Missile, only a 400-metre trial, both of them the other day. But she kept running, you know, so I'm hopeful that the 1,100 metres won't be an issue to her. She's got natural speed. I really like her. I think she can go well. But overall, I think she's the one to beat in the highway.
All right, mate. Hey, we wish you the best of luck, Nifty.
Cheers, buddy.
No problem. There's the great, the Hall of Fame and the legend, Neville Parnham. And that is a look at Railway Stakes Day there tomorrow, of course, at Ascot. It's the biggest meeting in the country. This is the Metro Form Express. They're racing this weekend at Launceston, and hopefully the race meeting goes ahead. Pete Staples, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Gareth. Yeah, I hope they go ahead. Well, it'll go ahead. The track was inspected today by stewards, and I haven't received the official notification, but I'm quite sure that the amount of fill that was required in the holes from the rail ship all been done adequately now and compacted properly. So that was the reason why we lost the meeting on Wednesday night.
Is it concerning for that track at Launceston? Will this be an ongoing issue?
No. Well, no, it won't be. I can assure you there'll be that many people crossing T's and dotting I's over it. I'm quite sure it'll never happen again on any track in Tassie.
All right then, mate. How do we make some money there at Launceston?
Well, we make it in race four to start with. I think Peter Luttrell's gelding Fagan's Touch. He's over the 1,600 metres in an Aiden Class 1. He just gets his opportunity again. This is probably the weakest race that he's been in for a while. He's had three runs over, to be his third run over 1,600 metres in the last four starts. So I just think he gets his chance. So Fagan's Touch, an ideal race for him in race four, number two. And in the last race, race nine, number two is the Tackler. His first up run was sensational. He goes to the 14 again. He's good second up. I spoke to John Blacker on Monday, and he said he couldn't be happy with him going into this race, and he'd be very disappointed if he didn't get the money. So race nine, number two is the Tackler. And in the big race, the $100,000 three-year-old cup, this is one of the best three-year-old cups I've seen in a long time, probably ever. So it's the most wide open. But I do like War Correspondent. I think he's the right horse for the race. Drawn perfectly, and Glenn Stevenson will have him spot on. He's not trained to the minute, because if he was, he couldn't win, because they were supposed to run Wednesday night. But I'd say he'd be going to be very, very hard to beat. The best each way bet of the day, race six, number five.
Enjoy Launceston, Pete. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Gareth.
There's Pete Staples there looking at that meeting at Launceston. Time for a quick break here. Coming up next on the Metro Form Express, we'll be taking a close look at the two big meetings at Tabcourt Park, Melton tonight, and of course for the big Breeders' Crown Finals night tomorrow night there at headquarters. Great to be with you on this Friday afternoon. This is the Metro Form Express, and it's now time to concentrate on the big weekend. They're coming your way at Tabcourt Park, Melton. It kicks off tonight with Breeders' Crown feature racing, and then the big nights tomorrow night with a host of Group 1s for the juvenile pacers and trotters. One lady that will play a major part along with her partner, Clayton Tonkin, is Emma Stewart, and Emma joins us now here on RSN Central. Good afternoon to you, Em.
Good day, Gareth. How are you going?
Good, thank you. We'll go through your runners, and we'll go through them quickly, otherwise we'll be here all year. Four big men in the opening race tonight. This is a winnable race. He has to overcome a second-row draw, but do you think he's in good enough form to win a race like this?
Yeah, I think so. I think the more sort of racing he has, the better he'll get. So I think you'll see an improved performance with him tonight.
All right, then. Does he go forward at some stage?
Yeah, I think he'll have to put himself into the race at some stage.
Yep. Somewhere Secret, your thoughts on his chances in race five?
I really like him. Again, he's sort of his second up, and the more racing he has, the better he'll go. But his last start win was terrific, so we'll be hoping for a good run from him as well.
In the Breeders' Crown Graduate Paces Free for All, it's a ripper race. You've got three mighty chances. Geez, you've got to love Major Times. He deserves to win a race like this. Tam Major's got a tough draw, and Code Black is another really consistent pacer. Can you split your three runners, Emma?
No, it's a little bit hard. Code Black always runs a terrific race. Like you say, I'd love Major Times to win a race like this, and Tam Major's a lovely horse. So they've all got their pros and cons, but I'd be stoked if one of them could just win.
All right, then. And Always Fast looks like it's got a lovely draw inside that second row.
Yeah, he has. He's one of my favourites, and he's an honest sort of horse. So, you know, he's racing into better form now, so you'll see a good run from him as well.
What would be your best tonight, Em?
Probably Always Fast.
All right, then Always Fast a little later on in the program. Let's head to Saturday night, and we kick off with the Group 2 four-year-old Breeders' Crown Championship, and Hurricane Harley has to take on what many say is the best horse in the country, Lock and Varad. But he does have the big advantage with the draw. He's drawn barrier number one. Lock and Varart, barrier number 13. Can you beat the star pacer tomorrow night with Hurricane Harley, Emma?
Well, he has done it before.
Yes.
So we'll be trying again. But I think we'll need a fair bit of luck on our side. And we have that with the draw. So if he's going to beat him, you know, tomorrow night's probably his best chance.
Is he in the same form that saw him beat him that night at Bendigo?
Yeah, I think so, and he likes to race fresh, so he's going to that race pretty fresh, and he's definitely got the draw to help him, so fingers crossed.
Yeah, that's one class you do not want to miss, the opening race there on Saturday night at Melton. What about Cover of Darkness? He's a trotter on the out. This is his toughest test in the three-year-old Breeders' Crown Colts and Geldings final for the trotters. Can he win?
Yeah, I think he can if he does everything right. You know, he's done everything we've asked him so far, but it is a big step up for him, so we would just be stoked if he can get around safe and hopefully run a place.
Do you think he's got the gate speed to lead?
Yeah, I think so. He's a pretty highly strung sort of horse, so I think he'll find coming up the gate pretty good. So, I definitely think he's got his chance.
In the two-year-old Colts and Geldings final for the Pacers, Major Moth trained by Clayton. You've got Act Now and also Jack's Hawk. Is Major Moth the best out of those three? And do you expect him, will he hold the front or will Act Now have too much gate speed, do you think, out of the gate?
Oh, I'm not really sure. I think that they've both got plenty of gate speed. Yeah. Act Now's got a lot more. So just have to see how Major Moth comes out. I definitely think he's the one to beat. And I think Act Now goes a lot better in front. So we'll play it by ear, but... yeah, I'm not sure that Major Moth can hold him off out the gate.
Yeah, that should be a great race, race number five. Race number six, Amelia Rose has drawn barrier three and Techie's Angel, barrier number six. Are you confident of winning the three-year-old fillies final?
I'm actually more confident this week than I was last week. I think Amelia Rose has sort of stepped up again this week, and I just love her to win a big race. So I'm pretty confident with her this week.
All right, then. So you think that she could turn the tables on Sweet Louise and maybe sit outside of her on Saturday night?
I definitely think she can win. I'm not sure if she can sit outside her and win, but I think if she gets a nice run, I definitely think she'd be coming home over the top of them.
All right, that's a good push. Race seven is the Colts and Geldings final for the Pacers. Lurum Lake had no luck the other day. Mac Dan that just keeps on winning. And Miragon, how much gate speed has he got? Can he cross Suze Bromack at the start?
He's got heaps of gate speed if we want to use it. And I think his run last week was terrific. So he's my little smoky for the night. And I think he's been sort of getting driven more to suit him this time in. I thought Lurum Lake was terrific and Mac Dan never runs a bad race. So I wouldn't be surprised if any of them pop up as a winner. But it's sort of hard to go past Mac Dan, I think, because he just tries so hard.
Race number eight, this is the race I'm looking forward to most. Tough Tilly, Joanna, Treachery, Rogue Wave, Platinum Sparkle, Dangerous Hand, and Ladies in Red represent your stable, Emma. What a group of two-year-old fillies. The punters say it's a race in two between Tough Tilly and Ladies in Red. Can you split those two wonderful juveniles?
Not really. I think Tough Tilly's probably got her chance this week because she's drawn better than Ladies in Red, but I wouldn't be surprised if one of the other ones pop up and win it either. Like, Joanna's going terrific, and you can never count out Treachery, so I wouldn't be surprised if
any of them won, really.
Yeah, can't wait for that. So, yeah, that's race eight. Then Bengals, you must have been happy with this two-year-old filly's debut effort in the heat there at Maryborough the other day.
Yeah, I was really happy. You know, she's always sort of been a filly that we've always liked, and she's just taken a little bit longer to get to the races than the, you know, other trotters. So I think whatever she'll do, she'll improve on, but she's definitely it's something I really like about her.
And you'll be buggered by the time you have to gear up two times better on Saturday night. But can she win the four-year-old mare's final? That's race 10.
Yeah, I think she can. She'll need a little bit of luck, but she's working a lot better this time in, and she again gets better with the more racing she has. So she's worked terrific this week, so she won't disgrace herself.
All right, and what's your best on Saturday night?
Tough Tilly.
And I was just talking to Craig Judd about her story. She's named after a girl that has been doing it tough in the early part of her life with this rare skin disease. And it's quite fitting, Juddy said, to have a horse that is so tough like young Tilly Wilkes, who the horse is named after. So it's a terrific story, and hopefully we can tell a little bit more about that story tomorrow morning on RSN 927M.
Yeah, that'd be terrific, and I just hope she gets over the line for it.
Yeah, good on you, Em. Best of luck.
No worries, thanks a lot.
Rest up.
Thank you.
There's Emma Stewart there. Dan Malecki joins us now. Dan, how do we back a winner tomorrow and also tonight there at Tabcorp Park, Melton? We might start with your specials tonight.
Okay, Gareth, hello and good afternoon to you and to all the listeners. I thought Kiang Lavana would be very hard to beat. Race 3, horse number 4. The meeting tonight. Race 3, horse 4, Kiang Lavana. She's got gate speed. So too is Peregrine Phoenix and Sleepy. So the battle may well be in the first 200 metres, but even if she got crossed, she can still end up with the run of the race. So race 3, horse 4, Kiang Lavana. Dance Craze, race 8, number 8. Look, it's an awkward draw, and I think because of that, you might get slightly better odds. So race 8, horse 8, Dance Craze. I thought Sonny Weaver, a horse that I know, I don't know if you're still on the Sonny Weaver bandit wagon, but he looks a good each-way chance. In a race where Mr. Bohannon is pretty short, which is quite obvious, and quite smart, but I thought was probably under the odds, so I was looking for a bit of value there. And I think Sonny Weaver might provide it each-way, race 9, horse number 12.
Yeah, I just like him on the fence when he can get that sucker long. He's one of those horses that you can't take a price too short because He's always a black booker in a way, Dan, because he's a horse that's making up ground, but he does need the breaks to go his way. But I can understand that how you could like him there tomorrow night. Tonight. What about tomorrow night?
Right, tomorrow night I'm sticking with Ladies in Red and Major Moth as the two best bets. They're bookending the legs of the quaddy. So race 5, number 1, Major Moth. He was terrific, wasn't he? It was a breathtaking last furlong from him, the way he just bolted away. It was an arrogant win, and he gets that gun draw. He could lead and win, but Act Now, he's stable now. Emma trains Act Now, Clayton Major Moth. It has got brilliant gate speed, perfect course to sit behind. So you can get confident, no matter how the race is run, Major Moth can win. Race 5, number 1. And Ladies in Red's never been beaten, so we just really don't know how good she is. Can she go to an even higher level? It's possible. And she might have to beat her stablemates, which include Tough Tilly, who was just outstanding last week. She has been all through her career, yet has only won 2 races. But bad draws and tough runs have probably conspired against her. But she always goes down fighting. Couple of odds, Gareth. Race 4, number 3, What's Up Majestic. Also, I did think it might be slightly longer odds, but it was an eye-catching run in its heat at Maryborough, and I thought he was a good each-way chance. An interesting runner is the filly, race 3, number 7, Golden Sunset. Did you see its win last night?
We'll have to just wait, Dan. We'll come back to you in just a moment. Dan Malecki, you found some value there tomorrow night then on a Saturday night at Tabcorp Park, Melton, you tell me.
Well, there's just something attractive in every single race, isn't there? I mentioned to you Golden Sunset, race 3, number 7. All of her runs have been quite unbelievable. Her last start performance, it was her maiden win. She's only had the 3 starts. It was outstanding. And quite extraordinary, actually. I'm still scratching my head. It's in the same race as Aldebaran Test, which I know you like. That's a good betting race, I reckon. Golden Sunset. Look, she could well be a risk because of her inexperience, and she's got a couple of little quirks at this stage, but, gee, she was good last start. And my long shot was race 9, number 12. She's a pleasure. It'll be 30-1, but I thought she was very good in her heat at Maryborough as well. So if you want a long shot to include into maybe some all-ups to place, or just simply a dollar a win, $4 a place ratio, race 9, number 12, she's a pleasure. Mexicana's, I thought, clearly the horse to beat, though, drawn one.
All right, Dan, can we get a quaddie for tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. Quaddie for tonight. The first leg, I've got down numbers 1, 8 and 9. I'll run through the names as we do it. 1, Eureka, 8, Better Be the Bomb, 9, Somewhere Secret. In the second leg, 6, Wolf Stride, 7, Major Times, 8, Tam Major, 9, Code Black, 6, 7, 8, 9. Third leg, I've gone a bit wider here. Numbers 2, Jamison Steel, 5, Diamonds and Cash, 7, Shooby-Doo, 8, Always Fast, 9, Sahara Tiger, and 10, Where You've Been Bopping, 2, 5, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And in the last leg, I like Dance Craze, but it's always good to have a couple of others going at decent odds for a healthy dividend. So 8's the top pick, but maybe throw in Gus and Maori, who's flying number 1, and 10, Sundon's Courage, is also flying number 10.
Good on you, Dan. Good callie.
Thanks, Gus.
There's Dan Malecki there. Andy Gaff joins us. He's in for a couple of big nights as well. Good afternoon to you, Andy.
Yeah, good night, Gus.
We'll start with your runners tonight. Ragnar goes around and gets a second row draw. He's an each-way hope. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, no, definitely. He's a horse that probably needs a few things to go each way, but he's come back well this time in. Yeah, if the speed's on, he's definitely a good each-way hope.
One of my favourites, Majestuoso, goes around in that four-year-old trotting final there for the Antires and Geldings. Always ready's drawn the pole. Now, your trotter showed terrific gate speed there at Maryborough. Do you have a crack for the front tonight?
Yeah, I think Kate will have a little crack early. Yeah, it's been a long time since he's been off the front row. You know, Maryborough was the first time for about 18 months, and he showed how quick he can come out to hold out red hot too. So from barrier 2, we know Always Ready's really quick as well, but, you know, Kate will come out and have a look and see what happens. But, yeah, obviously he's our main danger, and if we can't cross him, it's going to be tough to sit outside him and beat him. He's a quality horse like our bloke, but he's in top of his game and expecting to go really good.
Is he fit enough?
Yeah, no, he is. It's probably the best I've had him for a long time, I'd say.
Of course, he's fit enough. He's been up there for a little while, but is he trained on nicely? That's what I was trying to say, Andy.
Yeah, no, he's always been terrific.
All right, mate. What about Eureka? First up in a tougher race, he dropped out. Can he bounce back tonight?
Yeah, sort of hopeful he can. He sort of trialled quite good leading into that race. Admittedly, he just sat back in the field and hit the line really good. And then first up, we probably, got tackled early and it was really fast lead time. It was a false start too, which sort of set him off a little bit. He's a bit of a hot horse and probably over race. So I just give him to get that run and expect him to be, you know, pretty close to his best tonight. And, you know, he's drawn to advantage, so he can sort of hold up without too much pressure. He's definitely a winning hope.
His best wins this, doesn't it, Andy?
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah. Yeah. You know, his best is very good. He's sort of shown, you know, last campaign that he can do it tough and he can run really fast times. So he's a quality horse, but, yeah, if you can disregard what he did last start, I'm sure he can bounce back tonight.
Can Arden Voyager cause an upset in the free-for-all, race 6?
I doubt it. You know, again, he's a really nice horse. He mucked up last week and got himself out of the draw, unfortunately. So from that barrier draw, he'd just be driven cold. But I'm sure he can sort of, you know, things go right. He's sort of good enough to run a place, but I can't see him winning from there.
Geez, Diamonds and Cash is knocking on the door, race number 7. What a run last time.
Yeah, I mean, his previous runs before that, he hasn't really had much luck, and his figure form should be a lot better. So, he's sort of drawn okay. A couple of times he showed really good gate speed. Last time he didn't sort of show any at all. So, not sure how it's going to map, but, you know, he's at the top of his game and, he's in a race that he can probably win, I'd say.
Mr. Bohannon hit the sky. Your best chance there in race 9?
Well, probably Mr. Bohannon. He's only had the 2 starts for me in a lot easier grade. So, it's a big step up in classroom, but he's shown that he's got really good gate speed and I think he'll find the top. Hit the Sky's a bit of an opportunist. He just sort of has to be in the right place at the right time. He's never far away. So, if things go right, he's a good each-way hope, but he's always finishes in the top 4, Hit the Sky.
Your best chance tonight?
I'm sticking probably with Eureka. Doesn't think he can win, so one of us would be right and one of us would be wrong. So,
all right, then, let's hope you're right. for the punters that jumped on Eureka. Who's usually right?
Well, eventually I've got to concede and say that she is.
All right, then. You're just looking to make sure you stay in the good books. What about Pacifico Dream in the three-year-old Colts and Geldings final there tomorrow night? He's got a tough draw to overcome in race 7.
Yeah, it all depends on the lead time. If the lead time's really quick, he's riding the race. If the lead time's slow, he's going to be up against it. He's gone into the series in really good form and he's terrific last week. So I make it to sit on him and it's too good for him. And he's got a lot better draw, so... he's very well, couldn't be happy with him, but he's going to let a lot go right early for him to be a winning chance, I'd say. But he'll be getting home good.
Can Aldebaran Ursula turn the tables on Mexicana in the feature fillies race for the two-year-olds there tomorrow night in the trotting ranks?
Well, it wasn't much between them last time. I only got down to half a head, so it only has to go a little bit worse and I only has to go a little bit better. And you turn the tables, we're probably drawn to advantage being drawn behind it, so... And I think Mexicana will hold up. So, yeah, again, she's got a really good hope of, knocking the filly off. So, been really happy with her work this week. She's sort of been trotting really good and worked really solid. So I expect her to be on top of her game as well.
All right, then. So, Andy, your best is Eureka. What's Kate's best?
She'd probably say Mr. Bohannon, I'd say.
All right, then. Hopefully you're right. Good luck.
Okay, thanks, Gareth.
There's Andy Gatt joining us there. The champ, Chris Elford, joins us now ahead of a big couple of nights for... our Premier Reinsman in this state, in fact, the number one driver in the country, and he joins us now. Good morning or afternoon to you, Chris.
Afternoon, Gareth.
Sleepy. She goes around in race number 3. Your thoughts there in the Trotting Mares final at Group 2 level? He was there, Chris. We might have just lost him. I think he's dropped out. He's got some nice drives there tonight and tomorrow night, Chris. He's got Sleepy in the four-year-old mares. Enhance Your Calm goes around in the four-year-old trotting Entires and Geldings. He's back now. Welcome back, Chris.
Sorry, I don't know what happened there.
What about Sleepy? Can she win race number 3 tonight?
I think, just missed her last run when she was on her worst behaviour at Maribor. And if you go back to her 2 runs before then, she was really good. And it's good that she's got a nice draw. She can get off the gate pretty well. So, I think she's a great hope.
What about Enhance Your Calm? A couple of runs for Dean Braun. This is a tough field. Is he good enough to defeat horses like Always Ready and Majestuoso?
They look at from the front line draws. He's been probably looked like he was going to win both his races over here, but he's just disappointed the last 50 metres. So hopefully he can run into a place, but it's going to be pretty hard to win.
What do you do with Tam Major inside that second row draw in the free-for-all tonight?
I haven't spoken to Emma and Clayton yet, but it's not too bad a draw. Like Sir Letty can get out of the gate pretty good, whether it holds up or not. I'm not too sure, so... I'll just be guided by what they say, and he seems to be in good form. His last run was really good.
Can Sahara Tiger win the race after that, race number 7 in the Graduate Cup at Group 3 level?
Yeah, he's got not too bad a draw, and he's just a dead set sit sprinter, so he'll be reliant on how the tempo is in the race. But if they go hard, he'll be storming home.
Is it Wobbly's night tonight in the Trotters free-for-all, race number 8?
Hopefully. He seems well this week. He just hasn't been having a lot of luck with draws. And take Danscraze out, it's, pretty even sort of field. And, I don't know if Danscraze would want to punch up the fence and risk being stuck in there. So, it'll be interesting, but I'm sure he'll run well.
Is Kai Valley Chief a good thing in the last?
He was good his last run, and he trialled well on Sunday at Bendigo with Sleepy and Kai Valley Cleese. So second row draw is no big deal for him because he's got really good speed. So as long as he behaves himself, I think he'd be hard to beat.
All right, then. Tomorrow night at Tabcourt Park, Melton, Cracker Jet. I think he's one of the best value chances tomorrow night. He goes around in 3-year-old trotting Colts and Geldings final. Gun draw, Chris. Can he win?
Well, he wasn't too bad, in the heat and final of the Victoria Derby. It just distance just got him, I think, at the end. And then his run in the heat when he got sat parked was really good. And drawing one, he can you know, come out of the gate and we can either lead if, or if we get too much pressure, take a sit on one of the good ones, and he's really fast. So if he picks the right one to follow and he's there waiting for the sprint lane, he'll be hard to hold out.
Tailored Elegance takes on some nice three-year-old fillies in that final race three in the trotting ranks.
Yeah, she's sort of been a bit hot and cold since she arrived here, but her run in the heat was really good. We got a long way back, but she did charge to the line, and a couple of the good ones are drawn awkwardly, so they're going to have to put them up there at some stage, so it could be a pretty solid run race, which will suit her.
What about Out of Baron Seuss? Can he win the two-year-old trotting colts and geldings final? He was a big run the other day at Maryborough.
Yeah, I thought he was super there. He was a long way back and hit the line well. And apart from his couple of runs, like three or four starts back when he wasn't 100% healthy, I thought he's, as good as any horse in the two-year-old trotting rank. So he's got a good draw. He storms off the gate, so I think he'll be really hard to beat.
I don't know how they beat Sweet Louise in the three-year-old Paces final after what I saw there last week, Chris. She's drawn barrier number one.
Yeah, she was, super last week. Still green and doesn't know a lot about racing, but she sure has the motor. I thought on the last turn, Amelia Rose was going straight past her, and then she woke up to race it and, won by 15 metres or so. So she's got the draw. So there's a couple of nice mares still. Techie's Angels went super last week, and the Pantheus was a great run, and it's drawn on my back. So probably hard to hold out, but I'm sure she'll be right there.
What about Queen Alita in the two-year-old trotting fillies final? She was so good there last time as well. She's drawn barrier number two, but the favourite Mexicana has drawn inside of you.
It has, and it gets out of the gate not too bad. She gets out okay, Queen Alita, without being brilliant, but I think just by her last couple of runs, she's coming good at the right time, where I thought, maybe Mexicana was a bit disappointing last start. It sort of got it given pretty easy and fell in. So hopefully we're on the way up and it's, on the way down a little bit.
All right, then. And our Princess Tiffany, can she bounce back in the four-year-old Mares Championship?
Yeah, I think so. Last week's race was, pretty slowly run early, and she was the only horse that made any ground. So longer distance tonight and hopefully a bit more tempo early, and she should be storming home over the top.
What's your best?
Probably the two-year-old trotters, I think.
All right, mate. You go and get them, Chris. Enjoy.
Yeah, thanks, Gareth. Always good night's race in Breeders' Crown, that's for sure.
All right, mate. We wish you the best of luck. So one champion to another, Gary Hall Jr. joins us on Fremantle Cup night. G'day, Jr.
G'day, Gareth. How are you?
Good, thank you. Chicago Bull, can you win barrier six? What do you do at the start?
No idea what to do. But
don't
yeah,
lie. You've got a plan. Do you launch at the start when the green light goes on?
No plans. None at all, really. I thought about probably just coming out really hard. Yeah, you don't. I don't know. You're sort of in the lap of the gods a little bit if you restrain in these races, I think. So, we'll drive him positively, that's for sure. But, it's hard to sort of work out what's going to happen early. I think the horse that holds the key is probably Mighty Conqueror, drawn two. He's way out of form, but his form is certainly good enough. And just his gate speed, can be so hit and miss as well. So, a lot depends on what he does early. And we'll have to take it from there once we see how he gets out.
All right, then, Junior, we are running out of time on this Friday. Jesus, quickly arrived 1 o'clock. So can he win, Junior? How confident are you of winning this year's Fremantle Pacing Cup with the little champ?
Oh, he can win, absolutely. He's flying. I don't think the horse could be any better. He's probably, I think sort of come race time, he'll probably drift out a little bit. There'll be money for some of the others. But, I wouldn't be talking anyone out of backing him. He's at right at the top of his game right now. We just need probably an inch of luck early to get into a decent spot somewhere. But, I think he's still the horse to beat even after the draw.
We're all on, Junior. We love the bull train. Now, what about outside of the Fremantle Cup? We watch you on a Friday night. It's late, but we need you. How do we back a winner? Can you help us, Junior?
I'll do my best. I think American Brave will run a good race tonight.
What race? Don't worry, I'll find it. American Brave, yep.
Yeah, middle of the program somewhere. Each way faces him. If he's an each way price, he's probably worth a ticket each way. If he's too short, I'd probably leave him alone. And outside of him, I like Belle Catherine tonight. I think she can get the job done. Straw bad, but it's only a small field, and she's probably the best mare in it, so she should be able to win.
Don't stuff up tonight, Junior. We wish you the best of luck.
I'll bring something home, hopefully. Thank you.
Pump the fist. Well done. There's one of the very best in the business, Gary Hall Jr. That wraps up RSN Central and our Metro Form Express for this Friday. If you missed any of our segments and interviews, geez, there was about 45,000 interviews this morning and in the early part of the afternoon on